to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. That's our scripture reading for today. Is there a children's church? Sweet.
Thank you, David. Aloha. That means hello if you don't know in Hawaiian. So thought I'd bring my shirt up a little bit. Bob said I was bragging too much, but if you've been to Hawaii, why not sport off that tan a little bit? So let's start with prayer. Father, thank you so much for being able to come to your house and worship. Father, I thank you for this family that we have. What a blessing that you have given us when you set apart the principles of marriage, when you set apart the principles of family, Father. You didn't want us to be alone. You wanted us to know what it was like to have loving relationships so that we would know how to love you, Father, and know that the love that you pour out upon your children. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Father, and I pray for those that aren't able to be here. I pray that for whatever reasons, Father, that you'll be with them. And Father, that you'll provide us with safe travel in the snow and everything, Father. And just give us a blessed day today. May your Spirit fill this place. Teach us and guide us and just empower us to walk like Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ should walk and behave so that we can bring glory and praise to you, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for everyone that helped while we were gone, that you prayed about us for having a safe trip and everything. Thank you so much. I thank you for my sister just changing up the service this morning. If you liked it, tell her you liked it. If you didn't like it, pray about it, okay? Because she decided to do that. She let me know yesterday. She said, I changed order of service. I'm like, okay, do you like it? Like, if you felt like doing it, I have total faith in you. Because she lets God give her guidance in the songs that she picks out and everything. I never tell her to pick out anything, and they always fit the message so wonderfully. That's how God works. I didn't plan on preaching on family today, but when I saw Lowell's message, the Spirit led me, and I know the Spirit led me in it because I've wrote this sermon a half a dozen times now already. I realize that half the times I'm trying to do it, and he says, slow down. Let me tell you what to say. Let me tell you what to do. And that's trouble for me because I am one that likes to try to take the bull by the horns and get the things done. And so many times he says, in your weaknesses, you'll find my strength. And that's obvious by me even being up here that it's God's will and it's his strength. Because I'm not a professional orator or anything else. I'm just somebody that wants to be used willingly of God and how he wants to use me. So being part of a family is what we're going to talk about this morning. In Hawaiian, the word for family is ohana. And it means more than just family. It means a whole sense of love and belonging. It became popular in a movie, Lilo and Stitch, for us if we hadn't been to Hawaii and been part of it. And the word comes from Hawaiian heritage, but you didn't hear it much spoke in the past. It seems to be more of a word that we use to market the Hawaiian islands so that people could get that sense of belonging. Because guess what? We all have it built into us because God designed us that way. We all have a sense of belonging. We want to belong. We want to feel loved so that we will search for God to fill that hole in our heart. And that's one of the things that families are supposed to do is to give us that kind of love. And the Hawaiian government and whatever, probably the timeshare, since they're all over the place, decided to market aloha so that you would get this presence that you belong to a family when you come to Hawaii. And you'll get that sense of love and you just don't want to leave. Barry texted me yesterday and asked me, he said, is it good to be back or was it boo-hoo? Which one? I said, that's good to be back. But I said, all I hear from my wife is boo-hoo-hoo. I got to leave. So it is a sense of belonging. It is a beautiful place. Thank you for the privilege and your prayers to be able to go there. But ohana means family. It doesn't just mean your brothers and sisters, your mother and father. It means anyone who has been adopted and incorporated into that family. Doesn't mean that you're just married in. Doesn't mean you're just adopted in. A friend can be part of your ohana and everything. It's a sense of belonging. And we are so lucky as Christians because we have, like Lowell said, three families. We have our immediate family, and sometimes that's pretty messed up, and sometimes it's pretty great. We have our local church family, and then we have the family of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we went to a couple churches, and we felt that brothership. It's great to know that you can just go to a church 2,000 plus miles away and be received as part of the family of Christ. And that's what I want to talk a little bit more about today, is that family experience. But first, let's see what Lilo says that family is, if you've ever seen that movie. It becomes very popular, right? So Stitch was created, just like we were created, but a little different. He was created to be an evil experiment. Well, we weren't created to be an evil experiment. We were created to have a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, to bring glory and honor to Him. But Stitch finds out in the movie that he does have an ohana, that he does have a family, he does belong. So let's see what the next preview, or next... belong or not, you're always belonging and welcome in the arms of Jesus Christ. God created and designed you to have a relationship with Him. Whether you know Him personally or not, you can. There's nothing that you have ever done, that you ever can do, that it will separate you from the love of God. Unlike Stitch, we were designed to be part of a family. And I want to talk a little bit about more about that today. Relationships were important to God. Lowell talked about the three types of relationship: our immediate families, the church family, and then our church family, and then the whole church family as Christ, as Christians, as one in God. John 1:12 says this. He says, "Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." That's what He did for us when He died on the cross. Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life, so that He could pay our penalty for our sins, that He could set us right so that we could be called children of God. And every time that I hear anything, that verse or any other verse that relates to that, it just blows my mind away that the God who created everything, such a sovereign, holy being, would ever want us in the first place. And that once we rebelled and spit in His face, He would continue to want us, because that's what God is. He is loving and kind, and you can always count on that. He's not like your heavenly, like your earthly father. He is just and right and always wants the best for you. No matter what you do, He longs to bring you back into His arms. What a great thing it is to know that you're not alone, that God wants you. He loves you. When I was growing up, I didn't know what that meant. I knew that I had a good family. I thanked God for it. I had a mom that was willing to work just so she could send me to Christian school. My dad worked all the time to provide for us, and I fell into that same rut. As men, we think that we need to do everything to provide for our family. And we forget, and Lowell said that sometimes we need to let go and let God. Because what is more important? Is our work more important? Or is training up our children in the ways of God more important? Is loving them more important? And we get so caught up in that and think that, well, the Bible also says if a man doesn't eat, that if he doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So we work hard and work hard, but we miss out on our family. The most important thing in a family unit for the man is to be the father, not to be the provider. God is our provider. Don't forget that. In our weaknesses, you will find His strength. So we get our priorities mixed up. That comes from Satan. He started in the beginning doing it that way. He'll continue to do it that way. Even things that we think are good things, we get mixed up in, caught up in, and forget what's really important. But as I was growing up, I knew that I had a mother and dad that loved me. But you know how kids are. When they want something, they want their needs. So when mom and dad didn't go along with me, I thought mom and dad didn't care anything about me. They were just out to get me, right? So you'd run away from home or whatever the result of that was. But it takes looking back, once you especially have had your own children, to know they wanted the best for me. But at the time, I could not see that because I was blinded by my own sinful desires, my wants rather than their wants. And I think you can see how that relates to our Christian walk. So many times, we don't think that God wants the best for us, or we don't think He's in control. And we may not think that literally, but we do think that with our actions, because we don't give Him all the praise that He needs. We don't allow Him to take care of everything. We try to do it ourselves. We try to say, yes, God, I will follow You when I get this accomplished. Well, that's breaking one of the first 10 commandments. Thou shalt not have no other gods before Me. But that's what we do, and we don't realize it. But a good father always wants to provide the best for his children. In Luke 11:11, it says this, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" I mean, that just makes total sense, does it? But Jesus had to tell us that so we would think. He had to say, hello, listen. A father, an earthly father, should want to give you good things. Then how much more does your Father in heaven want to give you? He wants to give you everything. And that doesn't mean that you get everything you want. That means that you find the peace that surpasses all understanding in Him. That you see love through Jesus' eyes, that you understand. A good father wants the best for his children. Problem is we didn't all have good fathers. Some of us had great fathers, others of us maybe not even had a father. So we get that mixed up in this world because we live in a broken world. And we think of our earthly father and relate our heavenly father to that. But our heavenly father is righteous and good. He will never let us down. He always loves us. And we are designed to want and desire a relationship with him. Let's look back at the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, it says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation that moved along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it.'" Now, we could talk all day about what it means to be made in the likeness and image of God. But he made us to have relationships. If we can't have relationships here on earth in the way that we should have relationships, how can we understand how God loves us? How can we understand that relationship? The Bible relates Jesus Christ as being the bride of the church. Well, if we don't love our bride the way we're supposed to in a human sense, how can we ever understand that? The fact that God labored for 5 days designing everything that he designed and then put us over it to subdue it and control it, he did all of that because he loved us. He created that environment for us. He wanted us to see how much he loved us. And what did we do? We sinned. But he still loved us. He didn't take any of it back because God is God. Instead, he loved us even more. He knew what was going to happen. He had the ultimate plan in mind, to send Jesus Christ to take our sin and shame from us. But he also had in mind for us to be a part of the salvation experience. What a blessing. To be the hands and feet to the lost world, so that those who do not know Jesus Christ can experience that love. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to produce that fruit. And like Bob said, we've got to be aware of the weeds that are out there. And so many of the weeds look just like the real thing, that they fool us. That's what Satan does. He deceives us. He doesn't tell us plainly, "Eat this fruit and God will punish you and kick you out of the garden." He says, "Eat this fruit and you will be like God." He appeals to your sinful desires. Who wouldn't want to be like God in their subconscious? But you don't need to be like God, because there is no one like God. He is in control. He is all-powerful. And He created you. He designed you to bring glory and honor to Him and to have relationships. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says this, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." God is in control, and He is our Father, not just a God that doesn't want to be known. He's a God that wants to be loved, that wants to love you, that wants to have a personal relationship with every one of you. If we can't love our family members, then how can we love our church members? If we can't love our church members, how can we ever love the lost world? Yet Jesus came to this world, and He died when everyone turned their back on Him, when they spit in His face, when He had the ability to say, "Come, rain down fire and destruction." Instead, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He loved. He loved unconditionally. Relationships were important to Him, just like the Father. In fact, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8, verses 19 and 21. "Now Jesus' mother and brother came to see Him, but they were not able to get near Him because of the crowd. Someone told Him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.' He replied, 'My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice.'" Jesus knew who His family was. His family was anyone that would accept what He came to do, that would accept God's love. But you've got to accept it, and then you've got to put it into action, into practice. Just accepting it alone does not bring glory and honor to the Father. But if we have fruits, which we were designed to do, if we put it into action, if people know that we are Christians by our love, then we are bringing glory and honor to the Father. Lowell also talked about environment. And he mentioned that if you put a horse in a small pen, it's a wrong environment. And that happens so many times with our families. We have the wrong environment. At home, the kids see the parents fussing and fighting. They don't see Scripture being read. They see that a job is more important than them. They see that the dad teaches football more than he teaches the Word of God. Whatever it may be, the environment is wrong. And then yet we bring them to church on Sunday, trying to make the environment right. But we don't like the music. We don't like so-and-so. We just don't want to get along. But why can't we all just get along? And then what do we do out in the world? Well, when we're out in the world, there are the people that see us and say, "Well, doesn't he go to church? Because over here he's doing this today." And we become a stumbling block rather than a cornerstone. We need to get our priorities right so that we can have the right environment. And environment means everything. On my phone, I have Bible apps. And I love the smartphone. I thought I never would do it. But there is technology out there that can be used. And instead of being used for terrible things, instead of looking at porn on it, I look up my Bible verses on it. And one of the apps you can look up and you can look the number of a type of word and it shows you all the results. So in my NIV app, I searched for the word family. There were 198 results. That's pretty cool. And I noticed a pattern there as I was going through. In the Old Testament, family did mean brothers and sisters, but it encompassed so much more. It meant everyone that had been adopted or purchased even into that clan. Sometimes it even mentioned the livestock and animals. But they were all part of the Ohana, part of the clan. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." Because of Noah's righteousness, God blessed his whole family. Now that's cool. I don't know about you, but I rely on that. Because I half-heartedly taught my son. I taught him well, but I worked too much. I fought too much. I didn't set the examples that I needed to set. But I did teach him. But teaching him half-heartedly is not the way to do it. In fact, Jesus says, I spit them out of my mouth. But I rely on this, that if I can, and I'm continuing to progress towards that, and that's biblical, that if I continue to progress to be holy and righteous, that God will see my actions and He will bless my family. What an awesome promise and blessing. God did that for Noah, but He also did it for Abraham. If you look in Genesis 12, verses 2 through 5, He called Abram to be a great nation. And here's what it says. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. A righteous man has a big impact on this world. And I challenge you fathers, grandfathers today to understand that. Your actions do matter. They set the right environment for the family. If you do what is right, God promises in His scriptures, and that's just a couple examples of how He will bless you and your family. So what about family? Does it matter to you? Where are your priorities? What is truly important to you? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, "The one who makes men holy," which is Jesus, "and those who are made holy are the same family." So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. If Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers, then why in the world are we? Why do we say, I can't stand so-and-so? Jesus died for them. And that really convicts me whenever I think that way. And yes, I think that way. I'm no better. Paul says, why do I do the things that I choose not to do? We wrestle with sin. But when I do that, I think, wow, how can I do that? Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and my sins. Whether there were abundance of them or a few of them, whether they were horrific sins or not so bad sins in our eyes, He died to cover every one of my sins. And that means that He covered every one of my brother's sins as well, no matter what they are. So who am I to judge? Who am I to say that I am better than the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, who called them brothers? He was not ashamed to do so. If Jesus died for every person, then why do we bicker and fight? God wants you to be a part of His family, His child. Jesus knew that, and what did He give up? He gave up heaven, right? He became immortal. Have you ever thought about the things that He gave up? He gave up infinity. Jesus is omnipresent. That means He is anywhere and everywhere. He knew no boundaries whatsoever. He didn't know boundaries to space, time, anything like that. And He became a baby confined to a crib that wet Himself. That's what Jesus became because He loved you and I. That's what He gave up. He gave up sovereignty. He was divine. He was God. No other being opposed Him. No other being had the power that He had. He commanded legions of angels. And instead, He came to earth and He had to have a mother take care of Him. He was self-existent, meaning that He always was, always will be. And He gave that up for death on a cross. His power was limitless. Nothing was beyond His power. When He spoke, there were billions and billions of stars and billions of galaxies, something that's uncomprehendable to our mind. He spoke and had that kind of power, but He gave it all up to become powerless to death. Majesty. Jesus was greater than all. When you heard His name, it commanded respect. But instead, He came and He had to grow up and have a parent tell Him what to do. Transcendence means Jesus was beyond anything that we could ever imagine and comprehend. And He limited that to a human body because of how much He loved you and I. He was omnipotent, the one who had the power to accomplish anything. And he gave that up for you and I. He was omniscient, meaning that he had all knowledge. And as an infant, he had to be trained by men's books, by parents' teachings. He was justice. He was God. He deserved to hand out justice. And instead, he took justice of every one upon his shoulders. He took every sin that has ever been committed and took them upon his shoulders so that you could be washed clean. You get an idea of seeing how important that you were to God, how important that family is, how much Jesus loved you. Jesus gave up everything. His salvation was his, was your salvation was his top priority. So if the environment's bad in our home, in our church, in our Christian communities, are we bringing glory and honor to him? Are we following after his patterns? Do we care about the things that he came and accomplished? Or are we still spitting in his face? We are called to love one another just as Jesus loved us, even to the point of dying. Will you be a part of God's family? Will you love as Jesus commanded? In scripture that we read this morning, we read that we were freed by Jesus to be a chosen royal priesthood, a family belonging to God. We are aliens and strangers to this world. This is not our home. This is life is but for a second. And then, if we're Christians, we spend eternity with God, where all things are good, where we're not in a fallen creation, where we can experience all the love that God intended for us. But sometimes, instead, we focus on the wrong things. The Scripture told us to focus on things above. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." It doesn't say that if you keep some of it, it's okay, I understand. It says get rid of all of it. And if you notice when it starts out in that passage, it says therefore. Therefore means consequently. So we need to go back a little bit and see what he said previously. So if you go to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 14, you read this. And this section is entitled Be Holy. "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Not to do nothing, not to be saved and I have my fire insurance, but for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in arrogance." Pretty clear. But wait a minute, it says therefore again, doesn't it? So we need to go back again. Okay, so consequently. So if we go back to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. This section is entitled, Praise to God for Living Hope. Verse 3, "Praise be to God and Father," there's that relationship in there, "of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it ends in an exclamation point. "In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope." How can we have hope if we're grumbling, if we have malice, if we have contempt for each other? How can we have hope? How can anyone else have hope? "Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." God wants to have a relationship with you, but He does call you to be His ambassadors, to be like Jesus. We should get rid of all sinful behavior, because God has called us to be holy. We need to be holy in our family unit, in our church, and in our community of brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? So that we can be the light to the world, that we can bring hope to darkness, so that we can tell each other of the love that the Father has for them. In that verse, it says, "Praise be to God." So I looked up some antonyms for praise. They are criticism, disapproval, condemnation, disregard, and disrespect. So if you have any malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, or slander towards someone else, then you are criticizing and disrespecting God. Isn't that what it says? I'm just putting the verses together, but that's what I get out of it. So if we read our scripture again, starting in verse 2, 1 Peter 2, 2 through 6. Like newborn babes crave spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up. God expects that growing up period, that you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted the Lord is good. The next section is titled, The Living Stone and Chosen People. As you come to Him, as you come to Jesus, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Wow. Let me see if I can do it like Lowell. Wow! How's that? Did that do good? We get to be part of it. We are part of the building process. That is just amazing that He would allow us to do that. But we've got to be, get rid of all envy, malice. We've got to live righteous and holy. Continuing on that verse, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You might notice in your bulletin that there is a phrase in there that says, Strong churches don't make strong families. And I think we get that mixed up again a lot of times. But it says, Strong families make strong churches. That's because it's part of the building process that we've just read. Jesus is the cornering stone, and then we are the building blocks to build up that right environment in our family units, to build it up in our church, to build it up into the Christian community in the world, to have fruit, to draw others to Jesus Christ. Families are God's design. Problem is, nowadays, if you look up the definition of family, boy, you don't know what you'll get. Because this world doesn't know what a family's supposed to be. Because they grew up without fathers. They grew up without mothers. They grew up with two dads instead of two moms. Two moms instead of two dads. They grew up with sibling fights. They ran away from home. The family unit hardly exists anymore. And that's because we've got away from what the biblical definition of a family is and what God has intended. We've got to get back to our roots. We've got to get back to those building blocks. To finish the passage out that we talked about this morning, verses 7 through 17, it says, Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. So I ask you, is Jesus precious to you? But to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejects has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what you were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises, the same word we read back in the previous chapter, of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, His family. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Would you rather have condemnation instead? Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that they accuse you of doing wrong, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. Submissions to rulers and masters. Submit yourselves to, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king and the supreme as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, and to condemn those who do and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, which is the family. Fear God and honor the King. If Christians are going to be united as brothers and sisters in Christ, have the relationship that they are supposed to have, then there can't be divisions, can they? You have to be strongly rooted in Jesus, as we read in the vine passage. And you should be producing fruit. Fruit that will draw others to Jesus Christ, that will bring glory and honor to God. When we first came to this church, that's one thing that I did notice. And all families have their problems. I've mentioned some of mine, bore my heart out to you. We're not a perfect church. We're not a bad church. But we do have our problems. We do have some envy, some malice. We know we do. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just telling the truth. And the Bible says to get rid of all so that we can bring praises and glory to the Father. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19 says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how high the love of Christ is. And to know this, love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Wow, His promises are so good. If you do that, you can hopefully, you will, not just hopefully, taste some of those glories of God. The things that He has designed for you to experience. The things that you will inherit as His children. So will you make your family right with God? Will you start with your home today and bring it to your church and bring it to your community? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Father, I can't comprehend your love and I can't comprehend the things that Jesus Christ did for us. But I don't have to. I can just accept them. And that makes everything so much easier. I'm not God. You are. You are in control. And I accept everything that you have given to us. Father, help me to be the kind of person that I need to be to lead this church, to be the kind of father that I need to be the kind of neighbor, the boss, every aspect that I need to be in this life to bring glory and honor to you. And I pray that same prayer for each and every one here. Father, thank you for the empowerment of your Spirit to know that we couldn't do everything on our own. So you gave us God Himself to live inside of us, to empower us, to comfort us, to get us through this fallen world that we created ourselves. Father, help us to bring glory and honor to you that we may draw others to Jesus Christ and that we may bring praise, glory, and honor to you, for you so richly deserve it. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you look at your bulletins on the back, we didn't know what the praise were, the praise and prayer requests were from last week. So there's a blank. So I thought that while I'm playing a video coming up, it might get you to think of your ohana, your family, what that means to you. And you can write down a praise, you can write down a prayer request here. You don't have to write down specific names. It's between you and God. But if you write it down, maybe you'll see it later this week, and maybe it'll get you to think about it and commit that to prayer. If there's someone that you need to go to and make things right, if there is some way that you are not giving your life to God now, that you have those idols, that you have those things that you still hold back deep that you haven't given to God, whatever they may be, take time while this video is playing and write those things down and give them to God. He wants you to be His child. Just like I said when I was growing up, I didn't understand what that meant. I thought that meant giving me everything that I wanted at that time. And if mom and dad didn't provide that, they weren't being good parents. But now I realize, and just as the verse has said, that we want to grow up and we should crave spiritual milk. Ask God for those things in your life that you need to give to Him. And I've got a video that'll play and then we'll close the service. Thank you.